Welcome back. We are in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. Let's go. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. Shout out to Ashley, a longtime friend of our family. We used to live with near her and go to church with them in California. It was great catching up with you yesterday. All right, verse 24. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. This is talking about Jesus. That is the he. It's capitalized. You'll see, but he, the letter H in my translation and many translations is capitalized. That doesn't mean the translation got it perfect, but often cases they're nailing it. Here it certainly does because this is referring to Jesus. So it says, but he, that means but Jesus, because he, again capitalized, continues forever. When is Jesus going to stop existing? Never. When is Jesus going to, what we would call on earth, you know, die and just cease to exist or whatever someone may think? Never. He continues forever. But you know what else is cool? Like, you look at that and you're like, that's amazing. Wow, how can you live forever? What does that feel like? If you are a believer, you will live forever. You actually don't die on this earth. You just take your last breath and then your soul departs, and immediately the next breath is in heaven in the presence of Almighty God, right? You've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, but you're still trapped inside of this sinful body, right? This decaying body. Gravity has taken its toll on it over time. Sickness, illness, disease, etc. All sorts of stuff. But when you wake up in heaven on that very next breath, boom, right? The Christian, the believer, only dies once. The unbeliever dies twice. Here's what I mean. A believer is born into the world. That's the first birth. And then they die on the cross with Jesus the moment they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So they died on the cross with Jesus, or for Jesus, or he did it in their place as our substitute. That's considered your death. And then when people say you die on earth, and you're immediately born again, right? So there's your birth at birth. Then you've got the death on the cross with Jesus the moment you accept him and you're justified. And then you're immediately reborn. That's your second birth. And that's why we say you're born again. And you're never going to die again. Yeah, this body on earth will give out at some point, whether it's through cancer, old age, car wreck, whatever, heart attack, stroke. Your body just ceases, but you're not considered dead to God. You immediately wake up and you're in heaven, which is awesome. Whereas the unbeliever, they're born from their mother. That's their birth. And then they're going to die on this earth. That's their first death. And then they're going to be sentenced to the lake of fire, which is their second death. That's the eternal death. They live forever, but they live in death. They live in the absence of God. So they don't have eternal life. They have eternal condemnation in the absence of God. Why? Because during the prize fight, the special game, the big game, the championship game, the world championship game, that is what I term as this life, they chose to reject God. Many of them would sit on the sidelines and say, I just don't want to participate. I don't want to be part of that. Or they say, well, you know, I've watched this game before and I think it's rigged, so I'm not going to be part of it. Talking about, you know, Christianity and having a relationship with Christ. Or they'll just say, you know what, that's the wrong team. I don't need to do it. Or I'll get another shot. I'll get this purgatory thing. I'll get this reincarnation thing, and then I'll get it right the second time or the third time or the fourth time. No, no, no. This is not dress rehearsal. This is it. This is the championship game. This is the world championship, the national championship, whatever you want to call it, the prize fight. This is it. You don't get a second chance. When you take your last breath on earth, you're either going to wake up in heaven or you're going to wake up in hell. That's fact. How do we know that? Because of the Bible. How do we know the Bible is true? Well, let's look at some evidence around it. The evidence was written, the Bible was written in 66 different books by 40 different people. That's awesome in itself. In three different languages on three different continents over a period of 1,500 years. That's not collusion. And then you've got over 20,000 manuscripts supporting the Bible. You've got over 20,000 archaeological finds supporting the places, people, figures, and stories of the Bible. You got over 300 prophecies that were fulfilled just in Jesus alone. You have one central theme and not a single contradiction. How is that possible? It's only possible if it was written by God and it's his love letter to us, right? And we're even told, once you look through there and you see, yes, that's all of that is true. And it's amazing, and he tells us, right? It's infallible. It's the inspired word of God. It's not written by man. It was written through man's hands and in man's personality, but God was the one who was telling them exactly what to write. All right, and so it says, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood, right? The Aaronic priests through the line of Aaron, they had different lives. They were each different than the person before them, just like you're different from your dad and from your son or something like that, right? They had different lives, different thoughts, different experiences, personalities. So there was a change. Each time there was like this changing of the guard, kind of like if you have a new president come in, you've got this new regime. But not with Jesus. Why? Jesus doesn't change. Same person, same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is awesome, right? That's someone you want to follow, not someone you have to try to figure out and learn every single time they get into office. Verse 25, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. What a beautiful, beautiful verse. Therefore, so we're seeing why all that stuff before this was, what's it there for? So therefore, he is also able to save. Who is able to save? Jesus. Right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through him. Some people say, we can get to heaven a lot of different ways. There's a lot of different roads. No, no, there's not. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us so, and God tells us so. There's only one way. It's like if you got on the highway near you, and you went south versus your friend who went north, you're going to arrive in two completely different destinations. They're not going to unite and come back together. And there's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus. Why? Because it's logical. Because it's what God tells us. It's illogical to say, I'm going to be reincarnated thousands of times. That's just illogical. It's illogical to think that this world created itself through a big bang and evolution, that there was no instigator, no originator, no creator. It just happened. That gas created itself and then exploded and then happened to turn in all these planets and stars and light and darkness and trees and oxygen and all. No, that's just completely illogical. It doesn't even make sense. It's just someone who's trying to explain away God. And then you can't get there through deeds, because that wouldn't make sense, because then it's like, well, how do I know if I have assurance? That is not hope, right? If you're just, it's not real hope. It's not tangible hope. It's not the great kind of hope that God offers through Christ. It's saying, well, I hope my deeds outweighed. Right? That's what we see in a lot of religions, and Islam and some other religions, where they're like, well, I hope my good deeds have outweighed my bad deeds. Or I hope that God sees me as better than my neighbor, or better than this bad person in jail, or better than this world leader, and therefore he'll let me into heaven. No, it's much simpler than that. It's like, declare that you're not Lord, that this is your chance, this life. You're here for a purpose, to glorify the one who actually created you. And all you have to do is give your life to him, submit to him, declare that he is your Lord and Savior. Very simple. So it says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost. So who can be saved? Anybody. Does God want that anyone should perish and go to hell? Nope. He says, he wants that none shall perish. None. Not one. But does that mean he lets everybody into heaven? No. Why? Because there's justice, right? God is a God of mercy, less punishment than you deserve. A God of grace, more reward than you deserve. And a God of justice, getting what you deserve. And people who reject God get what they deserve. They get eternity without God, which is exactly what they wanted and they declared during this life. So he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. They come to God through him. Who is him? That is Jesus. This is another way to say that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me, said Jesus. And it says right here, he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. That's it. Boom, right there. If you go to God through Jesus, then you are saved. You have eternal life. Beautiful. It says, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus lives forever. It says he always lives, right? He's eternal. He'll never cease. So he will always be our intercessor. An earthly priest would die and stop making sacrifice. But Jesus' sacrifice was eternal and put away sins forever. So he always lives to make intercession for them. In the Old Testament, they had the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could go in once a year. Very special place, and very God was separated from man, and the priest would represent man to God and God to man. Well, when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was torn. We all have access to the Holy of Holies, to the throne room, to God. We have access to be able to have direct communication with God, which is why it's not an impersonal relationship with God. It's a personal relationship. Very quaint, intimate, personal relationship that you get to have with God, which is awesome, because a lot of religions don't believe that, right? And Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Every other religion is completely false, and you can look at that because they all make you earn your way to heaven through prayers, through sacraments, through deeds, through, you know, whatever they say, don't chew, smoke, or drink, and or hang out with those who do. You know, Mormonism, then reincarnation, all that stuff, to Buddhism, Hinduism. No, no, no. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He wants your heart. That's how you get to heaven. Give your life to Jesus. Ask forgiveness. Ask him to guide you. And know that he lives forever. And we get to live with him. How cool is that? Tomorrow we'll pick up in verse 26. Maybe one of the biggest takeaways today is just understanding that God died for you. He made himself the sacrifice for you because he loves you. And you can't earn your way to heaven. Your deeds can't do it. You're not graded on a benchmark. You're not graded on the person next to you or someone you think is worse than you. You simply get to heaven by declaring that you're not God, that he is, that he died on the cross as your substitute for the punishment you deserve. You ask that forgiveness and ask him to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. That's how you get to heaven. And then he indwells you in your heart. You're sealed. We know from Ephesians that you can't be indwelled by the demon at that point in time. You can't ever be demon possessed. You'll be tempted, but you won't be demon possessed. And then when you take your last breath on earth, the very next breath will be in heaven forever. How amazing is that? I can't wait for that, and you cannot threaten me with heaven. I'm so excited to get there, but we'll see what timetable God has to get me there. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you that you remind us that you live forever, that you want to save, that you want to save everyone. You want to save to the uttermost, but you can only be in the presence of people who are righteous. I can't get righteous on my own. I can't create my own righteousness. I am not righteous. I am a sinner, as is everybody listening to this. But you cover us with the blood of your son, Jesus. That punishment that he took on the cross for our sins was sufficient to cover us and pay our debt. Help us to understand that, to live like life like we understand it, to live life like we believe it and we're grateful for it, Lord. Amen.